Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Welcome to Let's Talk Midlife Crisis. I'm Ashley.
And I'm Tracy. We're your go-to hosts for all things midlife, menopause, and moments of pure mayhem. We have author Christine Marie Mason with us. And she's the author of The 9 Lives of Women. Welcome, Christine.
Thank you. It's so good to be here. And thanks for what you guys are doing, bringing some color and life to this middle stage of life.
Yes, thank you so much. We're really excited. We've really enjoyed this journey, and we love the guests that we're getting. It's been a lot of fun.
It has been a lot of fun. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I am a mom of 6 adult children, grandmother, also a founder multiple times. I started a bunch of technology companies in the 90s and 2000s and 2010s that were sold. And around the time I hit midlife, like late 30s, early 40s, I started a deep dive into yoga, tantra, embodiment, and how to free myself of a bunch of the constrictures that I felt I was brought up with, like a little bit of a Catholic girl, a little bit of a Western girl, and that a lot of the stuff that was living in my body was not like super helpful to being liberated, free, agentic, all of that. So I started an intimate care company in 2017 that was really focused on plant-based healing for women. And in the process, I probably talked to, I don't know, I have 100,000 customers there. So a lot of women in midlife, perimenopause and menopause who are like going through it and hearing what their concerns were and really understanding how deep this fractal ran in our culture around denying your own knowledge of your body and what might be liberated there. So the last 8 years, that's what I've been focusing on, the embodied liberation of the feminine.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah. I read your bio and I have to say, I'm very intimidated and I feel like such a slacker. Oh my gosh.
Like, what have I really accomplished in my life?
Let me just say this from now on. Like one of the main movements in the world, I feel, is like that every woman comes into complete respect and depth of her own knowing and her own path in life, and that there is no such thing as slacker. So undo that. Like,
thank
retract.
You. Okay.
And just say, like, I love and respect myself for everything that I've come through and everywhere I'm going.
Yes. Thank you.
Yes.
That makes me feel better.
It does.
And also recognizing that a lot of those things that I did were actually driven out of a capitalist identity that was not very pleasurable.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, a lot of our productivity, accomplishment orientation, and mine in particular, was like, I've got to do more to be loved and to stay busy and like all of that stuff. And so it wasn't exactly like a healthy, enjoyable thing.
Right. Or even just to be respected in every aspect of your life. I sometimes look at, you know, like my older sister is a very successful real estate agent. She runs a brokerage. She is so busy. She has a giant greenhouse. This woman is constantly doing something. And sometimes when I like go visit her and she's finally relaxing with me and we're just kind of visiting, I think, oh, am I keeping her from like, am I being lazy? Am I making her be lazy, like against her will? Like, you know, so I feel like I sometimes compare myself to people that are, because I actually do consider myself kind of a busybody.
You are a busybody.
But compared to some people in my life, I'm like, no, I actually am not. But so, yeah, I think that.
I love this. I'd love to like just pause there and name the different tonality inside of ourselves. Mm-hmm. When we're creating out of joy and like there feels like there's something that's coming through us versus the driven thing that'll make somebody say, let's say it's not about your sister, but about a stranger.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wow, she's so amazing. She gets so much done. And how they're in for the woman who's receiving that, there is like a sense of like pride, mm-hmm. but it's also a block to intimacy. It's a separation. Like, you're so great, but you're also separate, which means you're not available for the kind of quiet friendship that is actually really nourishing to the soul.
Right.
So watch how much of our doing is meant to get the kind of connection that we might get by not doing and just being present with people we love. So, you know, If it's coming out of joy, amazing. If it's coming out of pressure, whoosh, take
yeah.
it back.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Wow,
that's
I
great
love
advice.
That.
Yeah.
That's really great advice.
So tell us a little bit about your most recent book, The Nine Lives of Women.
You know, Maiden, Matron, Crone is like the model of women's archetypes that we kind of are stuck with, or kind of I grew up with. I didn't really hear anything other than those. And they are wholly defined by your capacity to bear a child. You can bear a child but have not yet. That's maiden. You've already born one and you can bear more, matron. Crone is when you can no longer bear a child. So it's all a very sort of productivity-oriented definition that your value is in your childbearing. And it seemed to me to be very, very limited. Just like our sexuality was always defined as sort of in relationship to a man, like if your vagina is wet and ready, it's defined in relationship to sexual intercourse, not in relationship to your own pleasure and comfort. Mm-hmm. So I started to think about, like, what are the actual stages defined sensually, sexually, and through the reproductive markers of a woman's life that have distinct walks, and how can we look at that in a more holistic way? So wow. People were surprised to see that my first stage of the sensual, sexual, and reproductive life of woman was birth to your period. So that, like, that we include the part of us that's developing an understanding of our sensual embodiment, feeling our bodies, naming our bodies, being able to say what we like and don't like well before we arrive fully formed like Venus on a half shell at our period or sexual maturation. And then, so the first part was to break all of those stages down. And then when I looked at the way medicine, women's health looked at the period after menopause, it was like menopause, and then it's the same until you die, which I was like, that does not sound likely, number one. It mm-hmm. sounds like an utter lack of curiosity around what women's sexual experience or sensual experiences are in those stages. And sure enough, diving into that, there are three distinct stages after menopause that also have different sort of ways to feel good, feel satisfied, different spiritual and psycho-emotional development stages. So the book is basically an attempt to create a roadmap that blends science and story and narrative for that whole embodied life cycle without losing contact with the essence of your core self. And wow. also hopefully builds a lot of excitement, inspiration, and joy about what those later years are like. That was one goal. That was a big
right.
goal.
That's a big goal.
That's a big goal, yeah.
Very important.
I was doing a survey of some of the women in the Rosebud community, and I asked them, who do you talk to about these things? Your kids, your partner, your friends, your doctor, your mother. No matter what generation people were in when they answered, the person that was hardest to talk to was their mother. Mm-hmm. And I was like, how are we going to heal the transmission if the mother and daughter, like, that's how the culture of womanhood is passed in the family line.
Right.
So how are you going to heal that if you can't have dialogue? So each chapter ends with empathy with person in that stage, meant to build cross-generational narratives. And then the last piece is, I really wanted to shine some light on how the questions that are available to a woman now are utterly different than at any time in history.
Right.
So you'll
mm-hmm.
notice in the section on matrescence or becoming a mother that the questions a woman who is thinking about having a child can ask now, should I have a child? Wasn't even a question 100 years ago.
Right.
Should I have a child alone or with a partner? Wasn't even a question.
Mm-hmm.
Should I use assisted reproductive technologies? Should I do CRISPR editing? Should I freeze my eggs? Like, come on. There's so many questions. And so I felt like really putting it in the context of what current technology allows. Also, like, you're living 30 years past menopause, which you weren't doing. Like, like, to really create a more comprehensive and current view of what our life cycles are. So three of the goals of the book.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. And that's fabulous. I find it enlightening because so much of women's health advice is still based on male biology, right?
Mm-hmm.
And those who originally wrote about it and educated us about it. So I'm just thrilled to hear this.
It's so ironic, don't you find, that like all the biblical stories of like they took a rib from Adam and made a woman. It's actually the reverse, that all babies are female until the male organs form.
Right.
And it's the opposite. So using the masculine body as the primary test subject doesn't really do much for us.
No, not at all. And I think to your point too, you know, the questions that you started asking, like, should I have a child now with someone or by myself? Like, things like that that nobody ever would have even thought of saying or thinking years ago, and not very many years ago.
Yeah, like it was like birth control outside of marriage was illegal. Mm-hmm. Come on.
Right.
Like sometimes we have to remind ourselves of how recent that was.
Yeah. It's shocking when you think about it, right?
It is. Yeah. Very.
One of the women I interviewed for the book is Rachel Lehman Hout. She wrote a book called Reconception. And it's about people who have babies with sperm donors.
Oh, yeah.
And how the mothers are making networks of siblings called DOCIs, or donor sibling families, where they share the same unknown dad, but all the moms form a network. I'm like, that is another example of something that it would never even occur to families.
That it was even possible.
Right.
You know, as far as the science goes. Wow. Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah. And you talk about the cycles of feminine vitality and how energy and metabolism and mental clarity shift through life, which is something that's important to me because I'm dealing with it now, being postmenopausal. So, and everything that comes with that.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go there for a minute. So yoga and breath work, really early, an energy conduction machine, and that the more oxygen you can take in and the more attunement you can bring into your sensitivity, into your body, the more alive you feel. But so much of modern life deadens us. So even before we get to the question of hormones and all the things that change, the question is, how much is the environment of your life contracting your ability to be sensitive to your environment and to feel alive? And so people are like, oh, you know, the first movement is like, I have dryness, for example, in postmenopausal period. Well, you know what the first thing you're doing is you're like doing squats. And you're spiraling your hips because you're pulsing the vaginal floor because it brings blood flow into that area. And that's what moisturizes you. So you staying in your active, moving, breathing, energized body is, you know, comes way before even thinking about the hormonal impacts of postmenopause.
Wow.
Now, you get into that period and then you say, all right, now I'm done all the vitality things. I'm breathing. I'm eating right. I'm hydrating. All of that stuff. Now, what level of intervention would I like to do in order to keep myself vital? I have landed on the side of HRT because women need it for bones, you need it for joints, you need it for mental clarity. So, you know, a little patch, a little pellet, something like that. Mm-hmm. If your doctor says it's good for you, I'm all for that. And then I would even take it a step further. We talk about in the book also peptide therapy, what's available there for skin tone, for muscular tone. Like, you know, if you can use it, you're going to live 30 years beyond what you were designed to live. So why not live that whole period with the utmost support?
Enjoy. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that it brings joy to you because peptides, we've talked about it a lot internally and externally and, for your face. And then I think if you look better, you feel better and that portrays, right?
Yeah, I think all the things that we go through affect somehow our confidence in a way.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's go to that for a second. Like, how does the confidence drop so deeply into our, like, almost the diaphragm, like into the core of our being, that you know yourself as a radiant essence of your soul, so that when you do get wrinkly and you do get a little bit more stiff in the body, that you don't lose the understanding of your radiant being.
Who you are.
Internal confidence. So much of the orientation coming up as a woman is an external validation of who you are. And I think the movement of coming into yourself is like kind of an inward movement, and then that confidence coming through you and out, so that no matter what's happening in the body, you still remember who you are, you know?
Yeah.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Yeah. That's
and
huge.
Not become invisible. I think a lot of women feel invisible.
yeah,
as a result,
yeah,
right, of aging. So, yeah,
invisible in the sense of being noticed by other people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're not like in the traditional way sexy,
right? Right.
Yeah, you're not turning heads anymore.
Yeah, but so, I think
so next time you go to a party, try this exercise. You scan the room. And you like do a soft gaze as if you know those number things where the like green dots and red dots, and then like you make a different gaze and something pops out, you can see mm-hmm. it. Try this in a crowd and don't look at people's bodies or faces or anything. Just look at their aura. Just look at their energy body mm-hmm. and notice who in the room you're attracted to, like you want to go talk to. It is almost never the most physically attractive person mm-hmm. in the room.
Right.
It is almost always the person who's like got a big energetic body. And, that has nothing to do with whether, so if you think you're getting noticed and you're turning heads because you got a cute booty or you're young or you're like, it's not actually real. You're getting noticed and you're turning heads because you're in your potency. And you can see women who know that, 80 years old know that.
Yeah. Yes.
And you walk in and everybody's like, whoa.
True. Right? Very true.
So yeah.
I think we decolonize our own thinking yeah. on that and watch what happens in the way people respond to us.
Oh, I believe 100% it's in our own thinking.
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
There's nothing like an elderly woman that walks in like she owns the room. Right. I just, to me, it's literally breathtaking.
Yeah.
I love it.
And in her joy.
And you also talk about biohacking for women, customizing wellness approaches for female physiology, fasting, movement, recovery. So do you want to expand a little bit about that for us as well?
So I would say there's basic principles. So a lot of this stuff on biohacking and what I call the bio stack, I looked at in the research, what makes a happy elder? And the first principle of being a happy elder is your whole experience of life rests on the bio stack, rests on the body. So we talk about movement and not just any kind of exercise or movement, but that grip strength, mm-hmm. leg strength,
mm-hmm.
and full mobility in the joints are the critical things. So, you know, the prescription is you move every joint in the body at its full range of motion every single day, because then you don't get calcifications that then later will restrict movement. Mm. Like, you know, if you're not familiar
frozen shoulder.
Why you get frozen shoulder, it's because calcium deposits and you get stuck. So we don't want that. So your first movement in the bio stack is full rotation of the joints. The second movement is flexibility, breath, and spinal integrity. Then the cardio stuff is not nearly as important as just staying moving,
right.
Some walking, something like that. But then you get into all these biohacks, and you mentioned it earlier about how most of those were tested on men.
Mm-hmm.
For example, contrast therapy, hot to cold, in women, ice plunging can create progesterone imbalances. You don't want to do that in the same way that men do. So we look at, there are cheap ways to do biohacking, grounding, walking barefoot in the grass, yeah. touching mm-hmm. trees, or you can go to a 4-pay biofrequency machine. Getting outside, doing deep breathing, doing pranayama, that is great. Or you can go to one of those hyperbaric oxygen tents. Like there's all mm-hmm. these mimics in the book that say, here's a way that you do it for pay, and here's a way you do it for free. By becoming more of nature. Same time, wow. same thing with diet. And you can do diets that enhance and hormone production, like estrogenic diets. Know, for example, that if you have a biomarker, a genetic marker you can test for, some women cannot turn soy into estrogen. And some women can. About half of women can. So if you have that, you can do a diet that increases your likelihood to have naturally produced estrogens. We list all the herbs that you can use for optimizing your cycles and even postmenopausally. And yeah, going through a lot of those things. I want to say also cosmetically that there's a lot of judgment mm-hmm. between women on the level of intervention that you do. And I would say if we could just please agree to release that and that let everybody choose. If you want to age completely naturally with no interventions, you can be like my great grandmother, who is the softest, most beautiful lap to climb into. Big boobs hanging down to the thighs,
yeah.
How amazing. Or you can, you know, you can be like a mountain biker at 80 who's like cut and lean, you know, but like let everybody choose the level of intervention they want and be in a commitment to uplift each other. So that would be one of my hopes. Know that biohacking is a matter of education, not of money.
A good point. Yeah.
Yeah.
I like
that.
That's great.
Biostack is one. Biostack is one. And then the other things on the happiest elders. Okay. I'm so excited about this one. One is the temporal focus of attention. Like, you know, people, like, the older you get, you sort of accumulate all of these life experiences. And some people start to, like, their attention turns from now to, like, looking backwards, like the glory days, mm-hmm. where so many unprocessed things or traumas that they're, like, trapped in the past. And there's no room for the now to accumulate or to be experienced. Or they're so anxious about the future, like not having enough retirement savings. What am I going to do? Am I going to be valued? And that creates a distraction from being present. The happiest elders put most of their attention on what's happening now. Their attention on the past is like occasional nostalgia for what was joyful or what they accomplished, but they definitely aren't dwelling there. And they're not really looking to the future other than to sort of imagine what they might create next. And so this sense of like cultivating your attention on this moment, what's beautiful, what's arising, what I'm experiencing now, is what all of the happiest elders have in common. So wow. We don't want to be like that.
Right.
Stuck in that nostalgia.
Right. Yeah.
Now, you use the term hormonal intelligence. What does that mean to you? And how can women start to tune in and balance hormones naturally?
Yeah, that's a really, I would recommend Aviva Ram's work. Dr. Yeah. Aviva Ram is really amazing on that. But knowing that your hormones, not only are you cycling in your monthly cycle all throughout your childbearing years, then you get about 42, 43, and you have basically no way to track how the decline in the number of eggs is, oocytes is impacting your monthly cycles or your annual cycles. And so you have to really lean into alternative health and integrative health practitioners to even know what you're dealing with. But if you are starting to get brain fog, moodiness, sleep deprivation, weight gain around the middle, even way before your periods start to stop, then you're probably dealing with a hormonal condition. Mm-hmm. It's so challenging now because it's hard to tell whether is that a wheat intolerance, is that a right. stress thing, you know, like you can't yeah. pin it down. So by going into an inquiry around what is happening in the hormonal body and a period of testing can help that, where you're getting multiple scans over a period of time. That can help, but tweaking the diet and knowing that it's hormones, it's probably not your psychology, you know?
Give right. yourself a break.
Okay.
Wow.
Okay. Now, if a woman that's listening is feeling depleted, tired, foggy, out of sync, what's the first small but powerful step she can take to reclaim her energy?
Well, I would say resting. What do you think?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
Yeah, that's
We've
true.
Talked a lot about
I'm tired and out of sync. My body's generally saying, stop doing things for other people and learn to rest and receive, you know? Yeah, I love for those times. So this goes back to the early part of our conversation on productivity. Like in a healthy society that you might have to mimic by creating rituals in your own home or your own friendship circles, when you are going into your low end of your cycle and you're tired and you're depleted, you allow yourself to rest. You go into closed spaces, you nest, you take long, slow walks, mm-hmm. you do yoga nidra, you breathe, you know, you let people serve you. You say hey to your husband or your kids or your friends, who wants to bring me tea? You order in on Uber Eats if you don't right. have anybody, you know, like you just allow yourself to rest, knowing that when you're in peak cycle, you're going to be unstoppable and, you know, you're going to do double the work, whether you want to or not. Mm-hmm. So allowing and honoring your need for rest is one thing.
That's one thing I've
said. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say that's one thing I've really had to focus on in the last year. And honestly, it came up in therapy. but I just have always, as long as I've been an adult, honestly, taking care. I should say since I was a child, I was the oldest in my home. I was mm-hmm. very mothering to my siblings. I was very protective of them. And I started having children very young. So I've mm-hmm. always had someone to take care of, which is something I thrive, like I love. It's just part of who I am. But I got to a point where I wasn't taking care of myself, and I wasn't even realizing that I needed to, because I was so busy worrying about taking care of everybody else. And suddenly I'm in my mid-40s, my kids are all moved out, I'm going through these crazy body changes, and you know, physically, mentally, emotionally, and that's really why I started going to therapy, because I'm like, what is wrong with me? And that was one of the first things she pointed out, is what are you doing for self-care? When are you resting? You know? So I agree. It's
just
huge.
Two things on that. First, like just empathizing with that. I completely understand that experience, and notice like how that caretaking is really like this scanning mechanism. Like, is everybody okay? Is everybody mm-hmm. okay? It's like a low grade up regulation of your nervous system. Yeah. And if you've had that from a child, dropping down and allowing like everything is actually okay is a unfamiliar.
It's challenging. It's very unfamiliar.
Yeah.
But it's very rewarding. I mean, I I've been working on it a lot over the last year, and I've noticed a really big difference, not just in how I feel, but even with my relationships, like with my children and my partner and my friends. Like, I think it's really been beneficial in a lot of different aspects.
Yeah, like your receptive self is so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking in the beginning again, like how agency and doing is a way of kind of creates a slight distance between you and others. And then like, if you allow yourself to soften and receive, like how beautiful it feels to others that you're like, oh, she's open to me.
Yeah.
And the beauty of not being in the giving position all the time is that others get to give to you. And mm-hmm. that's a big joy. There's another thing that came up while you were talking. Okay. So I can't remember the name of this psychiatrist, but I'll find it. And he studied the habits of health, the healthiest families. Oh. And then tried to teach people, if you want to have a healthy family, like, here's what you mimic. He said, in a healthy family, the needs of everyone in the family matter equally. The father, the mother, the children. Like, it's not like the father rules and only his needs matter, or everybody's giving everything for the children, the parents are depleted, or the mother's mm-hmm. giving. Like, that in a healthy family, everyone gets what they need.
Right.
And when I first heard that, I was like, what are you talking about? Like, my needs as the mom of a big family.
Right.
I'm last, right? Wait, what?
Yeah.
And then you start to invert and you go like, okay, actually, if my spiritual life, like if I'm meditating, I'm resting, I'm exercising, my spiritual life, my physical health comes first, then I am this endlessly replenished energy conduit that then can do all of my projects, parent, be in relationship fully. I'm so much more effective. But if I don't have this vertical and personal integrity with my systems online, it's very hard to stay sustained in your game. So that's a long answer to the question. Like, if you are depleted, please rest and please find the practices which will keep you in balance, and know that you're worthy of that. You have the right to be, the right to exist, and the right to receive from the world.
I love that.
It's beautiful.
So where can our listeners find your book? I believe it's on Amazon. It's probably everywhere.
It's sold out on Amazon right now. I went to buy a copy and it was sold out.
Good.
I know. I was like, oh, good for her. But I got to figure out where I can find it.
If you go to rosewoman.com, you can order it there.
Okay.
And we have, I sold out of the first printing, and I think we have a new printing at Rose Woman, but we don't have any more at Amazon yet.
Okay.
And it's been a really interesting process of getting this book out. And I'll say why, because I have a large male gaze on my psyche. Like, how will a man perceive what I'm writing? And one of the biggest joys I had in the book was that the first reviews that came in on Amazon were all from men.
Wow.
Love that.
Who read the book and said, two chapters in, I got a text from one of my pre-readers who was a man. He goes, I had no idea. I'm 60 years old and I had no idea
what you're going to go through.
And so I'm like, please get this book for the men in your lives who have daughters and who love you, mm-hmm. or get it for yourself and give it to them to read, or read it together, because I do think that they're just like not aware mm-hmm. of how much of the built environment and the cultural environment is utterly constructed for masculine chemistry.
Right.
So Yeah, thank you for asking about the book. A lot of the people who are interviewed in the book are, there are also long extended interviews with them at the Rose Woman podcast also. So
oh,
if
good.
You find, like, Aviva, you asked about hormone intelligence, I have a whole podcast with her. Plus, she's got a couple of New York Times bestsellers on hormone intelligence. So in some cases, I'm pointing in the book to deeper knowledge that's available on any of those topics. And if anybody wants to double click, the book's 400 pages, okay? So
wow.
Almost 400 pages. But there's like 1,000 pages of writing that go behind it. So we could double click on any topic and, you know, go deeper if people want to send me questions or whatever.
Wow, that's fabulous. Great. Thank you.
Okay. And so all of the links that we've talked about throughout this show will be in our show notes. So you'll be able to find them, as well as links to where you can find Christine's newest book. But thank you so much for joining us today. It was such a pleasure to get to know you and looking forward to reading your book.
Yeah. Thank you, Christine.
Thank you, you guys. I'm really glad to be here. And like as a closing reminder that no matter what stage you're at, you are like beautiful, accepted, and that the time after menopause is so much more joyful and vivacious than anyone ever told me. And it's probably been the best period of my life. So if you're sort of in your 30s and 40s and you're like, what's going on with me?
Mm-hmm.
Just know that it is only beauty. Don't worry.
Awesome. Thank
wow.
you.
Well, that wraps it up for today. Thanks for joining us on Let's Talk Midlife Crisis. We hope you got some laughs, a little inspiration, and maybe a few new ideas.
If you loved today's episode, hit that subscribe button so you'll never miss an episode. And hey, share the love. Send this episode to a friend who could use a good laugh and some midlife wisdom.
Connect with us on social media at Let's Talk Midlife Crisis and let us know what's on your mind. We love hearing from you.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.